biblical understanding. Sometimes the most foundational, even elementary topics can be difficult to understand. So how do we grab a spiritual understanding to these things that are so crucial to our relationship with Christ? Welcome to Transforming Conversations with Pastor Rock Dilliman. With over 30 years of ministry, preaching, and biblical study, Pastor Rock discusses biblical topics that bring them into a fresh new light that is easy to understand and apply to our lives. And now, your host for another Transforming Conversation, Greg Hughes.
Well, thank you for joining us again today on another Transforming Conversation. I'm Greg Hughes, along with Pastor Rock. And I love these conversations, Pastor Rock, that we have. I've been getting a lot of comments lately how they have helped and ministered and brought understanding to situations that people are going through, common situations. And recently talking with a good friend that her family, one of her close family members, had suffered a physical trauma. And unfortunately, the gentleman is between, he's recovering, but it's a very long process as he's an older gentleman. And it seems as though we get into situations in healing where we get into this, if I can use the word, healing limbo, where we're not fully recovered, we're on our way, but the pace seems really slow. And for family members who have to watch this and deal with this on a daily basis, watch their loved one try to struggle with the healing process, try to struggle with understanding why this is happening. It's taking forever. We're praying. It feels like our prayers aren't being answered. It feels like they're just bouncing off the ceiling. Frustration can set in. Disappointment can set in. Anger can set in. On behalf of the loved ones watching these things.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have answers for her. I didn't have...
I thought you knew everything.
That's what I tell my wife, but she doesn't believe me.
Well, good for her.
But it just seems that how can we encourage those folks who seem to be in these kind of situations? And it is difficult.
Yeah, well... Again, these are unrehearsed, so I may bounce back and forth rather than following a real nice, clear outline in responding. And I would begin by saying prayer isn't a pass whereby we avoid the pains, the disappointments, and the brokenness of life in a fallen creation. Prayer can result in many changes in our life as we walk through this broken world as broken people. But prayer doesn't change where we're at. In this world, Jesus said, you will have tribulation. In this broken creation, there's an enormity of suffering. In this broken creation, people God loves get cancer and die. In this broken creation, families serving God lose family members. In this broken creation, Christian employees get terminated unjustly. In this broken creation, alcoholics drive their car into a family van and Christian children lose their lives. In this fallen creation, believers in the Middle East are tortured and beheaded. In this fallen creation, the daughters of believers in some areas of the world are sold into slavery. So prayer helps us navigate our souls through a broken creation, but prayer doesn't change where we're at. We're still in a broken creation.
That's right.
Paul described even the realm of nature as groaning for the day it will be restored because it's currently broken.
Right.
So, and that is not meant to be a calloused response. That's just the reality of it.
Right.
I watched my father, a dynamic man of God, successful father, husband, businessman, and servant of Christ, who through his spirit-filled living and intentional witness led over 3,000 people to faith in Jesus.
Wow.
But I had to clean him up after he messed himself at age 92.
Hmm.
I had to visit him when he was bedfast and wearing a diaper.
Right.
And his mind was beginning to fail him. God didn't love him any less. God didn't love me any less. But both of us were in a fallen creation. And in this fallen creation, we grow old. And we contract diseases sometimes that end our life prematurely.
Right.
Or injuries that make our last days traumatic and extremely difficult. And then we die. That's where we are. This isn't heaven. This is the hard life. Everything doesn't work out the way we would like to here. We grow old, we get broken, we lose our health, we lose our minds at times through dementia and things of that nature, and then we die. That's the curse. That's the fall. That's what sin has done to the creation, and we are a part of that. And Jesus gave us prayer as a way of walking closely with him and navigating our way through that in a successful way spiritually.
Right.
He did not give us prayer as a, you get to pass death, you get to go past aging, you get to go past injury, you get to go past prolonged hospital stays. No, we don't get a pass from those things. Prayer doesn't change where we're at.
That's right.
And it doesn't change the fact that we are fragile beings like the dust of the earth, like the grass of the field, here today, gone tomorrow. Prayer doesn't change that. So that's one piece of it. The fact that we love Jesus doesn't ensure that we'll be bright and vibrant and healthy, and then one day at the end of the worship service, we sit down and we're suddenly gone and with Jesus. We'd all want that script.
Sure.
But few get it that way.
Right.
A second thing I would say, so again, all that to say, it's not necessarily that your prayers are bouncing back. It's that you're asking God to change things. God doesn't always change.
Right.
In this world, right, you will have difficulty.
Right.
So, and I mean this respectfully, do we have the right to assume that because we love Jesus and our loved one loves Jesus, that they get to bypass end-of-life struggles that everybody else experiences?
Right.
And again, I'm not meaning that to be hard.
Right.
I'm saying that because if we embrace thoughts like that, we make things unnecessarily hard for ourselves.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because what is a inevitability in a fallen creation, we begin to treat it like something avoidable if we just prayed or if God heard our prayers and loved us.
Right.
And then we end up receiving accusations against God.
Mm.
And we make our way doubly difficult. I never questioned the goodness of God when a man whose whole life was about Jesus spent his last days in diapers.
Right.
That's how it ends in this broken world.
Right. Right.
That's why we look forward to the other side.
Amen. Hmm.
God didn't cease being God in my dad's life, and I didn't have any questions about prayer. When I saw my dad in that scenario, my prayers were, Lord, he's ready. I just prayed that his homegoing would be as peaceful and non-traumatic as possible.
Right.
But even if it had been traumatic, Christians don't get a pass.
Yeah.
We don't.
Yeah.
A second thing is many of these kind of situations you referred to, these are the result not of God not hearing our prayers, but these are the result of modern medical technology, which has enabled us to extend life and prevent death, where even 50 or 100 years ago, death would have been automatic.
Right.
Now, that's a great blessing. But the backside of that blessing is it creates scenarios where somebody's life is being prolonged by modern medical technology.
Right.
Putting them in a position of, as you said, sort of a limbo.
Right.
They're not getting better. The aging process isn't going to reverse. They're not going to suddenly be 30.
Right.
They may not again be 80.
Right.
They may not again be 90. Neither have they gone on to be with Jesus. They're just sort of there.
Right.
And it's a very unpleasant there because they're not making progress. They're a shell of what they once were physically and mentally. Their quality of life is virtually non-existent.
Yeah.
And yet, there it is, day after day after day. Well, again, modern medicine has made that possible.
Yeah. Yeah.
In many of these kinds of cases, if it had been 100 years ago, those folks would have passed.
Yeah.
The natural process would have unfolded, and their body would have succumbed to disease, deterioration, or that injury.
Yeah.
Okay. And I say that as a pastor having stood at many a bed in an intensive care unit. The person's not really with us, and they're not yet gone.
Right.
My stepfather was in that kind of a scenario for a while, and I remember Karen and I visiting him. He couldn't respond to us. They weren't making progress. Neither was he gone.
Right.
I can remember one of the beloved pastors who served with me here, Reverend Ted Mock, who had been a wonderful Alliance pastor, district superintendent, came into ACAC, did pastoral care and other things, and was universally beloved. Just a wonderful man.
Yeah.
But Ted had a stroke and was in Allegheny General Hospital. I would visit him with his wife and daughter. No mental activity, no hope of recovery.
Right.
Being kept alive by machines.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think the appropriate question there is, why did God allow it?
Right.
Well, this is the world we live in. It's not like God made an exception to the rule in having a person succumb to something like a stroke in a fallen creation. Strokes happen, heart attacks happen. That I know personally.
Yeah.
So it isn't like God stepped in and caused this. We're all going to end basically in some variation of that. A few get to just pass quietly in their sleep.
Right.
But most die heart attack, stroke, organ failure.
Yeah.
Something of that nature. Yeah. It's usually not real pretty at the end.
Yeah.
And many end with their mental capacity severely compromised.
Yeah.
Now, our relationship with Jesus and our eternal future, no, those aren't compromised. But again, where are we? And prayer is not a pass out of where we are. But I remember we finally made the decision. This limbo could have continued indefinitely. And the doctor said that Ted had no brain activity. And so his wife and daughter made the decision, let's pull the plugs, which again, is not you taking authority over the whole happening. It's putting it literally back in the hands of God through nature and natural process.
Yeah.
And so his wife, in case there was any chance of him hearing anything, just said, "It's Ted, it's all right. We love you. We want you to go home, be with Jesus. Don't worry about us." And then they pulled the plug, and I stood there with her and his daughter. Wasn't pretty because he began to grasp for air, and his face grew very red, and it was rather a traumatic thing to watch. Our comfort was knowing he wasn't consciously suffering. He wasn't aware.
Yeah, it was just the body.
And then finally he breathed his last. But these kind of scenarios, again, most of God's people throughout history never had to deal with these.
Yeah.
You suffered a traumatic injury. You were dead.
Yeah.
You died of natural causes. Medicine was not able to step in and almost artificially prolong your life.
It's interesting we're talking about this because today, the day of this recording, my cousins in Alabama are burying their father.
Mm-hmm.
He had an aneurysm last Friday.
Oh, okay.
And like you said, modern medicine, the ambulance got to him, and he was on a breathing tube.
Yeah.
Until I believe it was Monday or Tuesday, they had to make the same decision.
Mm-hmm.
You know, God-fearing man, loved Jesus.
Yeah.
Great family man.
But stuck in between life,
yes,
and death, almost in this limbo,
yes,
because of technology.
And there was a little brain activity, not much.
Yeah.
And he wasn't coming back.
Yeah.
But so there are cases like this all over.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that people have to deal with. And my heart goes out to my cousins, and they got, today actually is a service.
Yeah.
And so it's,
well, again,
it's interesting.
All of us have family members whose life has been extended, and we got to enjoy their company longer because of modern technology.
Yeah, and it's good, right?
But there is a backside to it, and this, and even physicians would admit this. This is the backside of it, that sometimes, where in days gone by it would be over and you move on, you create these limbo-like situations that can be so emotionally traumatic,
yeah,
for a family.
Yeah.
And especially if there's been an estranged relationship or guilt.
Right. Right.
Oh, then it gets really messy, which this isn't theology. This is practicality. Everybody should have a will, and everybody should have a medical directive done in the presence of a lawyer, sealed and testified to, for intervention, end-of-life issues. Because then you make these decisions while you're cognizant and living, rather than forcing your family into making agonizing, sometimes unnecessarily guilt-laden,
right,
and emotional and dysfunctional decisions.
Right.
My wife and I both have that. And it's not an expensive proposition. It's easily done. Ours, you know, in the matter of a few words, are if our lives can be spared and quality of life, take that measure. But if quality of life is gone and it's just a matter of creating this artificial, no extraordinary measures are to be taken.
Yeah, yeah, everybody needs to have that.
Everybody, right, should have one of those. If you love your family, you should have one of those.
Right.
Okay. Now, again, that doesn't mean every situation is that way. There are situations where, even if you have that, it sort of falls in the cracks, and there is the possibility of being restored to life and quality of life. So,
right.
So you keep going for it.
Right.
But it drags on and on and on. And how long do you let it go? And so on. And again, those are families have to answer those things personally.
Yeah.
I would say as long as there's hope of restoration, why wouldn't you go for it?
Sure.
And quality of life. But once that is gone, I would tend to think, remove the artificial and, again, just leave it in the hands of Jesus.
Yeah.
So these kind of scenarios are exacerbated by modern technology. A lot of people never had to face these issues.
Right, right.
I mean, you had an aneurysm, you were gone. That was it. You had a heart attack. I mean, I'd be dead. If what happened to me 6 years ago happened 50 years ago,
right.
I'd be dead.
Yeah.
Because my heart stopped three times. But all that, it still remains where we are. It's a broken creation. We grow old. How we grow old isn't always pretty. What happens to us as we grow old isn't always pretty. And death is inevitable. And prayer doesn't lift us out of that.
Right. But it's okay to keep praying for healing.
Oh, sure. I mean, look, I pray for healing until God answers differently.
Yeah.
And then I bow to his sovereignty.
Right.
But we don't get a pass. And I know that sounds sort of harsh, but I would say to a believer, your aging parents, grandparents, uncles, brothers, whatever, the fact that you love Jesus, they love Jesus, doesn't mean that the end in a broken world is going to be pretty.
Yeah, unfortunately, right.
And when you pray that it will be prettier and it doesn't happen, it doesn't mean God doesn't love them and God doesn't love you or God isn't hearing you. It's that God doesn't, prayer is not a pass through the ugliness and the pains of life or the inevitability of digression and death.
Right.
They aren't.
Yeah.
Again, I've never known anybody more devoted to Jesus than my dad. But I had to wipe him after he messed himself.
Yeah.
Well, where was God in that? Right there with me and right there with him.
That's right.
As he said, "Thank you, son." And as I said, "Dad, it's my privilege." Because how many times did you do this for me when I was little? It's my privilege to do this for you now.
Amen. And I'm sure that this family finds it a privilege to...
Oh, yeah.
To help their loved one.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. But they don't need to beat themselves up, and they don't need to beat God up.
Yeah.
Remember, look, I know this sounds incredibly simple, but it's not simplistic. There's a difference. An awful lot of the struggles Christians go through, I have found, after 40 years of pastoring, is the result of forgetting where they are.
What do you mean?
This is the hard life.
It's the hard life, right.
This is the side where there's inequity, injustice, tragedy, sickness, death, loss, all those things.
Right.
This is not heaven. And when we forget where we are and begin to assume that our relationship with God and prayer and trust in God means we get to sort of sidestep what other people go through, then we set ourselves up for unnecessary crises of faith and unnecessary emotional heartache.
Yeah.
Ain't none of us getting out of here alive.
That's right.
And none of us have the guarantee our last days will be pretty. That's why we look forward to the other side, where there are no grave sites, no farewells, no hospitals.
Amen.
No deductibles, no copays, but we aren't there yet.
This is the hard life.
Yep. And again, prayer helps us get through.
Right.
It doesn't always take us around.
Right.
The key is we get through. You know, I'll close with this. When, not if, when you pass through the fire, when you pass through the flood, not if.
That's right.
I will be with you. You will not drown. You will not be consumed. But notice, it's not if you pass through. It's when you pass through.
Right.
And you pass through. It's not your permanent address.
Amen.
So, when Ted was on breathing machines, he was passing through. That was not his permanent address.
That's
today,
right.
He's more alive than you and I put together.
Amen.
But he had to pass through that fire.
That's right.
And he had to pass through that flood. And all of his love for God and a lifetime of service and his wife's love for God and his daughter's love for God and all the people that loved him didn't prohibit him passing through. And God was still good and he was still saved.
Amen.
But we have to remember where we are.
Amen. Well, I pray this brings a lot of understanding. Thank you.
Thank you.